Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. Listen, we are super excited to have you guys joining us here today for another phenomenal show. I'm telling you what, listen, put your seatbelts on because you're going to need them today. You're going to need them right today on this here show. So listen, my first guest is hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm going to be bringing her up to the mic. She's back by popular demand. She's been on the show before. Oh my goodness, Dyshan Washington is joining us. She is a national and essence best-selling author. I have personally read cover to cover Diary of a Mad First Lady. Oh my goodness, The Preacher's Wifey, My Baby Is Not a Mistake, much more. She's also nationally recognized playwright. Yes, she does plays as well. You'll know the names. Everything That Look Good Ain't Good for You, Is Love Supposed to Hurt, and many, many more. She's got some upcoming releases. We're going to hear about them. And she created a new genre of fiction. And ladies and gentlemen, some find it controversial. She created a new genre of fiction called Christian Erotica. Mm-hmm, I said it. She was even a guest on The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Candy Burris' show, Candy Coated Nights. And so we're going to hear all about that because I am sure there was some hot buzz about that. But I have to add also that she's the founder of a nonprofit organization, Hold On, Inc., which is an organization that's really committed to raising the awareness and creating solutions for the prevention of suicide. So we're going to talk about that. And she is the senior vice president of operations, Applause Publishing. Yes. Well, we are excited. We're going to hear all about that. And then I'm excited in our second segment, we're going to be talking to another dynamic young lady. LaTanya Arnold is joining us. Listen, she's a life changer. She is a motivator. She's a worshiper. She's a published author. And she is a survivor. She is a survivor. I love her spirit. She's a strong supporter of the show. Her book is available for pre-order on Amazon called Victory Over Shame. And she's going to talk about how she is a survivor of childhood sexual abuse. But she's got so much more to add. So, and listen, she don't sugarcoat anything. So you're going to get to hear all about it. So this is what I want you to do. Jump on Facebook, jump on Twitter, tell them what you're listening to, tell them you're hanging out listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And our guests today, Dyshan Washington and LaTanya Arnold. All right, so let's move right on into our first segment. Again, back by popular demand, Dyshan Washington, I'm bringing her up to the mic right now. Welcome back on the show, Dyshan.
Thank you, Charvette, for having me back. I'm honored.
Oh, it is exciting to have you back, and much has occurred since the last time you were on the show. Are you running around with a chicken with your head cut off because you're doing so much?
Oh, girl, you have absolutely no idea.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's start with talking about the book. So let's start there. So like I said, I personally read, and it's not often that I get to read cover to cover every book that of someone that I've interviewed, but I personally read Diary of a Mad First Lady, which, you know, so much great response from that book. And I think I saw you posting on Instagram that, you know, it's still selling very well in all of your books.
Yeah. Yes, Diary as well as The Preacher's Wifey is doing really well. It has been in the top 50 on the bestsellers list now for 5 years and counting. And today they released April's list, and both of them are still in the top 50 at number 40 and number 47. So I'm really grateful to have staying power in this industry.
Yes, absolutely. And so what are your other, do you have another upcoming release coming soon?
Absolutely. Diary of a Mad First Lady 2 is coming up. We are excited about that. My publisher is excited about it. I'm excited about it. The readers are excited. We had one release date that we had to change it, so it's coming up the first Tuesday in May. May 5th is when it's going to release, and so we're just really, really excited about it.
Okay, wonderful. And I will definitely get my hands on that. I will get my hands on that. And so let's talk about how you transitioned to playwriting. Did you kind of know that that would be what you would do next, or that kind of just happened?
Well, actually, Charvette, I began writing plays long before I was writing books. I started writing plays I always tell people that I wrote my first play in the fifth grade, and it was called What If Christmas Never Came, and I wrote it on white paper, and the covers was a green piece of construction paper and a red one. Those were my covers for that particular play. My mom actually still has it. But I was doing stage plays professionally, and in 2004, I was scheduled to have my show picked up and taken on the road, and it was stolen by a promoter from Hollywood, California.
As
a result of that, I was devastated and did not want to do any more stage plays. And so because I still had a desire to, you know, tell good stories, I decided that I would write a book. My very first book that I ever wrote was called Up High, Down Low, Too Slow, and it was about men in the church who were on the down low. And I like to tell people that only my family and friends bought that book. I had no idea what I was doing, but I didn't want to do any more plays, but I still wanted to tell stories, like I said. And that's how I kind of got into writing books, and I gave up for a minute, and about 3 years after I self-published Up High, Down Low, Too Slow, I met my mentor, and I decided that I would try to, you know, study the craft of writing and really take it seriously. And that's how I got over into writing the books, and now I'm just going back to plays, but that's what I was doing before.
Oh, wow. Okay, what a great journey. Okay, so but you piqued my interest when you said the first book you wrote, nobody but just your friends and Pookie and them bought.
That's right.
So, you know, this is a great teaching moment, I think, for those that are aspiring authors. What were some of the things you learned, you know, maybe a couple quick tips you learned from the time you wrote that book to the book that's coming out soon?
Yeah, well, one of the major differences between novel writing and writing stage plays is that you have to be way more detailed. I was accustomed to writing, you know, just, you know, basically dialogue, and everything else was shown on the stage. So one of the first things that Victoria taught me when she became my mentor is that you don't tell a story, you show a story, and you have to be very detailed. And at that particular time, I didn't know that. My novel was like 40,000 words, and I know now that a typical novel is 70,000 to 80,000 words and even up to 100,000 words. So what I actually wrote was a novella, but I didn't know that at the time. And then the second thing I would say to aspiring authors is that editing is so important. That's one place people like to scamp on and they try to avoid it. But I would not recommend anybody avoid the editing process, because it is so crucial to an author's career, because there are things that you don't see when you're close to the story that an editor will see. And I don't mean somebody who majored in English. It's not just about the grammatical errors. It's about story editing and all of those things. And they are really important if you're trying to get into writing books or novels or books of any kind.
You know what? That is so key. I was just on this past weekend at a writer's workshop called How to Self-Publish, and I was one of the speakers, but the editing was one of the segments, and someone in the audience kind of raised their hand and said, do I have to do the editing piece? And I almost, like, bust out laughing. That wasn't my segment to train on, but I was like, they're going to, after the speaker that was assigned to that section spoke, I just jumped in and kind of said, you know, you can have this great book, but if it's messed up, they are going to kill you on Amazon. They are going to rip you to shreds in the reviews, and, you know, it's just going to be unfortunate, so.
Yeah, it's not going to be good because, you know, readers are smart, you know, and they most avid readers read a lot of books, and you do not want to have them giving you bad reviews online. And even though I don't read the reviews anymore, it's still not good to have out there because there are people who do read them. And so you want to make sure that you have a long-standing career, and one book could just really tank it if you're not careful.
And certainly, and if someone has an opinion, because a lot of the reviews certainly is about opinion, style, all of that, but at least don't give them anything extra. Don't give them any extra ammo to have in their tank. Okay, great. So we in the plays, there's a clip that's on the front of your website. Tell us about that. We can kind of hear a little bit of a play. Tell us about that clip.
Yes, that was that play is Diary of a Mad First Lady. I took it to the stage last summer. And so if you read the book, then you know what the play is about. But it's just so it's always interesting when I adapt a story for the stage. And people are still talking about it. As a matter of fact, I am working on a deal right now that will put the show on the road for a few cities. And so we're just trying to iron out some details. So hopefully I will have an announcement soon regarding Diary of a Mad First Lady, the play. But it was here in Atlanta, and we had a ball doing the show. It was really, really good. And we've gotten rave reviews. We had a few celebrities. I even heard Tyler Perry stop by. That final night. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I didn't get to meet him, but it was pretty cool to be able to say, hey, you know, Tyler Perry was spotted in my show. So yeah, I thought that was pretty neat.
That's awesome. I mean, that is dynamic considering his busy schedule. So that's awesome. All right, and so tell our listeners how they can get to that clip, where they can go to watch that.
Yeah, they can go directly to my website, which is DaishanWashington.com, and as soon as you log on to my site, it's on the home page, and I think it automatically comes on when you go to the home page.
All right, there you go, listeners. There you go. A personal invitation. If you just tuned in, hey there, you're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're broadcasting live from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but we're heard all across the World Wide Web, and we're just chatting it up here with Daishan Washington. All right, Daishan, so let's talk about this new genre of fiction that you have created called Christian Erotica. I know that had to cause some controversy and some buzz. So tell us what it is, and then what have you been, what your mission is and your goal around it is.
Well, it has definitely created controversy over the last 4 or 5 years that I've been working at this genre. I never expected it to be any controversy. I didn't realize that people were going to read so deep into the term itself without listening to the message. And I try and use it as an opportunity to teach people the original definition of the word erotica, derives from the Greek word eros, which is a form of love, just as the agape or hey phileo that we teach in church, but we very seldomly teach eros to the married couples. So eros is simply the intimate and the passionate love between a husband and a wife. And so I wanted to tackle that because, number one, the divorce rate right now among Christians, the last I checked, is 54%. And the third leading cause for Christians divorcing is sexual problems. And, you know, I was married myself for 15 years, and there was a point in my life where I did not understand the importance of maintaining a healthy sexual lifestyle within my marriage, because all I knew was church, and more church. And being that I was a first lady, my role and my position sometimes interfere with my role and my position as a wife. And I did not realize that I was opening the door for the enemy to come into my home by not doing or taking an interest in my wifely duties. So as a result of that, I started talking about it in hopes of educating people and trying to get people to at least start the conversation about sex, because it is so taboo in the church world. There's nobody really talking about it because we were taught early on to keep that part of our lives private. Well,
right.
You have infidelity at an all-time high. You have homosexuality at an all-time high. And all of these things are going on. Children born out of wedlock, such as myself. I've had one child out of wedlock myself. But nobody's talking about it. We're trying to pray over things that we can actually fix in the physical realm without even having to tap over into the spiritual realm. So I started out by writing short stories, and then in 2012, I partnered with a film company here in Atlanta, Extreme Films, and they actually sat down with me, and I wrote a script, a movie script, and we shot the short film, Let's Get It On, and it talks about, and of course it's for entertainment, but
right.
Tackle so many of the subjects that are taboo in the church in the film, which can be seen on YouTube, all 42 minutes of it, and we discuss oral sex. We talk about pornography and a lot of the different questions that Christians and different people are having in their mind, and I always try to say I don't promote premarital sex. That's not what Christian erotica is. It's basically pointing people back to where sex began, and that is with God. God created sex, and it is meant to be enjoyed. It is meant to not just be good, but great. And so hopefully marriages will continue to catch on. As much as it has been a controversial term, I've gotten a lot of responses from people all over the world, literally as far as South Africa.
Wow.
From people saying, I've watched your film, thank you, it started a conversation in my home, my husband and I are getting along better because we're having better sex. I've had pastors reach out to me who are literally waiting for me to start up a tour or something.
Oh.
Where I'm going around talking to people about sex and helping them tap into that passionate side of them and get rid of the erroneous teaching that we've had that was just, it was basically debilitating to marriages. And so I don't mind the side eyes that I get when people say, oh, Christian erotica, this is blasphemy. I don't mind it anymore because it's actually helping people. And I did an interview last week that is going to run this week in a major secular magazine. They saw me tweeting on the subject. I'm not sure when, but they reached out to me, and I did a feature interview that's going to be in their magazine, and it's a, I think their magazine has 30 offices worldwide.
Wow.
So I'm excited about that because it's a secular magazine, and so people from not just the faith-based community, but people just in general are looking at it saying, let's have this conversation. It's long overdue. So I'm really excited to be able to spearhead something that I feel will be beneficial to marriages, you know, long after I leave the earth.
Wow, phenomenal, phenomenal. Now, I know some listeners are like, okay, so where on YouTube do I go to look at this?
It is, if you go to YouTube, it used to be on my site, but if you go to YouTube and put in Let's Get It On, full feature, it will pop up. We've had about 12,000 views of it so far, and that's with no marketing. We did a red carpet premiere in 2013. It was sold out. We had pastors there. We had bloggers. We had pretty much anybody from any walk of life to be at the premiere, and we got really positive results. And here's the thing about Christian erotica and my film. There is no nudity, and there is no graphic language. So it's interesting because people say, oh, well, you're not honoring God doing anything that has anything to do with eroticism. But that's not true, because erotica and what the world has infiltrated within our minds, they want us to believe that sex is nasty, degrading, and it has to be, you know, one way. But I've never had any married couple watch my film and come back to me and say they were not aroused. So
all
it does is shows us that the power of seduction lies within all of us. The power that we possess to within us to please our spouses the way that we are supposed to do, it's in us. We just have to tap into it, and then we have to get out of our mind what we've been taught by the world is acceptable. And that is what I hope Christian erotica does. It reteaches us, and we know that this is beautiful and that it's supposed to be enjoyed, and that the bed of the marriage is undefiled is right there in Scripture. So, but yeah, it's Let's Get It On, full feature film in the YouTube search bar. And again, it's a short film, so it ends on a cliffhanger. You don't know what's going to happen with the couples, but late this summer, we are going to begin filming. We're starting all over, and we're going to begin filming the full feature film, and I am 100% excited about that.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. And listen, some of the people that's probably doing the side eye, they're sitting up watching Scandal and Empire, which they are almost,
yes.
I mean, they take you to the line as far as they can for primetime
yes.
TV. So that's my comment on that.
Yeah, and I watch Scandal, you know, and I think that when people look at what Let's Get It On is, when they hear my message and they join the movement, the goal is to save marriages, you
yeah.
know. I wasn't able to save my marriage, but I'm hoping that my story and my life and testimony will help someone else to reevaluate their marriage and say, how can I reignite the passion in my marriage? How can I feel confident about myself so that my husband will desire me again? And I get inboxes on Facebook, on Instagram and Twitter from women
wow.
saying, you know, I'm just at a loss. You know, how do I get my husband looking at me again? How do I get his attention? And these are all Christian women who are, you know, heavily involved in church. And they've been, you know, one reason or another, that passion isn't there, that fire isn't burning as, you know, as powerful as it was when they first got married, and they need just some advice, tips. What can they do? You know, what's right, what's wrong? Everybody has a question, but nobody has anybody to go to. So I don't mind being the topic of discussion.
Awesome.
I don't mind at all. I'm actually accustomed to it now.
All right. Well, that is wonderful. And you are certainly a minister, a life coach, a motivational speaker, you know, so all of that. So guys and girls and ladies and dolls and gents, you know, invite Dashan Washington to your event. Listen, we have a couple of people hanging out on the line. I see some callers. I'll take a question. I'll take a question. Caller ending in 3470. I'm coming to your line. You've been patiently waiting. Caller ending in 3470. It looks like you have a question for us, and I am opening up your line. Hi, you're live on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Do you have a comment or question for our guest? Or maybe you're just listening, and that is perfectly, perfectly fine. Okay, perfect. All right, so I definitely want to talk about your organization and make sure people have some information. Hold On, Inc. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. Hold On is so dear to my heart. It's no secret. I talk about this almost every interview that I do, that I struggle with suicidal thoughts. I've even had two attempted suicide events, and thank God I lived through both of them, but I struggled with suicidal thoughts for many years. It started back in 2007. I was dealing with a whole lot of situations going on in my life, and I just felt my only option was to take my life, and that was actually the first time that I contemplated it and was about to carry it out. And so over the years, I just buried it. I didn't talk to anybody about it. I didn't seek any additional counseling. I was a first lady, for God's sake, and I didn't want people to know that I was losing the battle in my mind, because as a first lady, people think you have it all together. They expect you to have all of the right answers. And so I didn't want people to know that I was struggling to hold it together. So from that time up until last year, it was an off and on battle in my mind to try and keep my mind healthy with good positive thoughts. And so last summer, it came to a head when I had just done the play, and it was coming off of that in situation. Some situations didn't work out the way that I thought. And one thing about people who have ever fought suicidal thoughts, the thing is, you don't feel like you have any other options. You can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't see the rainbow. You don't see the positive things, because the enemy's job is to continue to feed your mind with negative things, and that's all you can see, regardless to how much scripture you know, how mm-hmm. you know how to go into spiritual warfare, all of those things I knew. And, of course, being a minister and having preached all over the country, I know the things to say and the things to do, you know, but when you have a condition that's just mental and that you you don't get the help you need, it just lingers and it just goes on and on and on. So anyway, last summer I was contemplating suicide again, and I was continuously posting on Facebook messages, and like I do, if you follow me on mm-hmm. social media, I do a lot of inspirational posts on all of my platforms. But this one particular day, I was like, look, I need everybody praying for my mind. My mind is not good today. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what made me do that, but I just did it. I was like, I'm putting it out there and hoping. I think there was a part of me, even though I wanted to die, there was a part of me hoping that the power of prayer will pull me back.
Yeah.
In the right direction. And so I put it out there, and I turned my phone off, and I just laid on my couch, and I was thinking about my daughters and just all the things I had going on, and I just felt like, you know what, God, I'm tired. I've been through so much over the past 4 or 5 years. I don't have it in me to continue going forward. I just want to die. So what turned it around for me was not only the message of hold on that I had been posting leading up to that day, but someone gave me a hug outside of my house, just standing outside, and I will never forget. The guy asked me, what is going on? And then he said, I tell you what, don't even answer that. Just give me a hug. And Charvette, I promise to God, and people say, well, what stopped the suicidal thoughts? As much as I would like to say, oh, well, I read this scripture, or I prayed two tongues, or I prayed this prayer, I don't have it as an answer. A hug literally changed my life. And it's so simple, the message of hold on. It's basically reintroducing people to the power of love. I think that most people who deal with suicide are surrounded by people who love them. I mean, genuinely love
them. Yeah.
But here's the thing. We have to learn to love people the way they need to be loved in order for them to function properly. And sometimes the way we think that we're loving people is just not what they need. At that moment, what I needed and didn't even know that I needed was a hug. But that's something people very rarely give. Very rarely get a hug. And that changed my life. And so I wanted my story to be a blessing to other people. So if you go on my website, there's a tab there, Hold On, and it gives more information about suicide. And we have Hold On bracelets that say, it has a website on there as also, but it says Hold On, # the hug challenge. Last year, the ALS challenge was viral all over the internet.
Yes.
Ice water over their head and that sort of thing. Well, my goal with the hug challenge is to get people to get these bracelets, which all of the proceeds are going towards us opening Hold On centers nationwide where people can go in and get hugs and get counseling and get the help they need in a non-judgmental atmosphere. But the goal outside of that is to get people hugging people again and taking pictures with them wearing their bracelet. And I would love for people to send us the pictures of just people hugging nationwide in support of us bringing awareness to how serious suicide is. It has taken the lives of so many people, children, older people. I mean, last year when... what's the comedian's name? Robin, Oh, my God.
Oh, Robin.
William.
Oh, Lord. Yes. Did I say the wrong name? Yes.
He's actually on my Hold On site. It was just so devastating. This man has made us laugh for all of our lives, most of us. And then yet he wasn't able to hold on. So the bracelets say hold on, and that's simply our message to people who are struggling. I wear my hold on bracelet every single day with my dress up jewelry, everything. I'm reminded to hold on no matter what situation I'm facing. Hold on. It gets better, and that's what the bracelet serves as a reminder. So we are going to be expanding the website really soon to give more information. We are planning a survivor's ball in September in Suicide Awareness Month. I have a wonderful director. She's out of Ohio, Yolanda. She is working diligently along with some other team volunteers that we got just from posting about it on Instagram and Twitter. We have a team of people who are committed to my vision. And so we're going to have the first Survivor's Ball here in Atlanta in September. And we're going to be releasing more information about that soon. But that's just for people to come together who have attempted suicide, survived it, and also for the families of those who have lost relatives and loved ones to suicide. We're going to be honoring them and honoring their memory because they were not able to hold on, but hopefully their story and their life will be enough to help someone else hold on.
Absolutely. And let me just say, you know, thank you for being willing to be transparent, because certainly you could have just said, well, you know, I made it over that hump. I'm going to just go on with life as is and not say anything and kind of sweep this under the rug. But you're being very vulnerable and transparent to share your story to help someone else. And so certainly our hope here at the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, our goal is to motivate, excite, and influence. And we hope that someone hearing this will be influenced by their decision to hold on. Oh, my goodness, we're out of time, Dashan. One more time, just tell our listeners how they can connect with you online.
Okay, my website is DashanWashington.com. I am also on Facebook as Dashan Washington, and my Twitter and my Instagram handle is the same, and it is at I Am Dashan. So I am pretty active on all of my social media outlets, and I try to respond to as many people as possible.
Wonderful. And we have tweeted and tagged in Facebook and also Instagram, so those are quick, easy connection points. Again, Dashan, thank you so much for stopping by the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Charvette. It's been a pleasure.
All right, you are quite welcome. All right, listeners, we are going to take a very, very, very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our next guest who's hanging out in the virtual green room. LaTanya Arnold is joining us. She's a published author. The book upcoming, Victory Over Shame. It's about to be released, coming very shortly. Listen, she's a survivor, she's a motivator, she's a worshiper, and you've got to hear her story. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out Mitchell-Productions.com or find them at Facebook.com/Mitchell Productions.
Virtual book tours is one of the best ways to get your book noticed by potentially thousands of new readers. BAB Virtual Tours staff will walk you through the process of embarking on a virtual tour for your book, business, music, and or ministry, providing simple but yet effective strategies for getting your product and your message in front of thousands. Sign up for a free consultation. www.latboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Certainly, big shout out to all those that are listening in from Twitter, from Facebook, from Instagram. We love you guys. Charvette.com and our broadcast stations. We do want to give an extra special shout out to our sponsors. An extra special shout out to our sponsors. We want to shout out the Fashioned for the Kingdom Women's Conference. Fashioned for the Kingdom Women's Conference is coming to the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, June, 19th and the 20th. Listen, the keynote speaker is Ambassador Chrissia Monroe, and that is the daughter of the late Dr. Miles and Pastor Ruth Monroe. So you want to be here in the city, go to jtdministries.org, jtdministries.org to be a part of that and to hear this dynamic woman who has picked up the mantle that her father and the torch that her father and her mother have passed on to her. All right, we're going now to the virtual green room to bring up my guest. I'm excited bringing her to the mic right now. LaTanya Arnold, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Charvette. How are you, hon? Thank you very much for having me on your dynamic show tonight.
Yes, I am fabulous. So glad to have you on the show. Certainly, you are a strong supporter of the show.
Definitely.
Awesome. So I mentioned a little bit about you earlier, and so I want to jump right on in. How did you get the title Life Changer? How did you get that title?
Well, to be honest with you, I started my nonprofit management career back in the late 90s, and that gave me the opportunity to help individuals with an extra hand to move obstacles in their life. And in return, I was able to change their outlook on life. So basically, it was helping others help themselves.
Wow. And so then people said, okay, well, this is, they recognize you as this is somebody
yes.
that can help change lives. And so I do love that there is a motto that I saw on your website, and it's one that you live by, and it's called Avoiding the Mountain Won't Get You to the Other Side. So talk a little bit about that.
Oh, I would love to. During my journey of self-discovery, healing, and deliverance, I encountered a lot of mountains and realized that I was living in a state of denial with my own zip code. Not forgiving myself for my past of shame, guilt, and fear kept me in my own personal prison for many years. But once I teamed up with other life changers, from my mentors to sorority sisters, and they shared their story with me of overcoming with the Lord, I was encouraged to develop my own personal relationship with Him. And with assistance from my spiritual mother, Dr. V, and Pastor Jamal Bryant from Empowerment Temple, I was able to move from survivor to overcomer and face my past of no more shame, no more guilt, and no more fear. Not only use my testimony to help other survivors to do the same, teach one, reach one.
All right, each one, reach one, teach one, reach one, reach one. And so you have a book that's coming out, Victory Over Shame. It is available for pre-order on Amazon.com, Victory Over Shame. Did you always think you would be a writer?
Not at all. To be honest with you, back in college, I was diagnosed with surface dyslexia. So, you know, and really with that, that was kind of discouraging at first. Like, wow.
So, wow.
So with that, with the surface dyslexia and stuff, mm-hmm. I was able to kind of, during my critical thinking class in college, my professor, she was able to help me identify my learning disorder because her daughter had the same similar symptoms. And she explained to me, really, that dyslexia wasn't an indicator of my intelligence or my drive, and I wasn't lazy or dumb. In fact, she was kind enough and a blessing that she shared with me a couple of people that had the gift of dyslexia, and that would be Muhammad Ali, Harry Belafonte, and Whoopi Goldberg, just to name a few.
Wow. And it took until college to really identify that you had this gift of dyslexia?
Well, definitely. I honestly, going through, I was like a C student majority of my life. But when I realized the type of dyslexia I had, it really, it's when you make the mistakes. Once you look at the verbal appearance of the spelling and the word isn't in agreement with the English pronunciation. So, for example, I would write, he wins the race, but I really was thinking he won the race.
Oh. So interesting. I didn't even know there are different levels of dyslexia. So you are enlightening us today.
Definitely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to, because even when it comes to dyslexia, our brains are just simply wired differently. The difference between how we receive and process information, and simply put, we see, we hear, and we understand things differently, which equates to about 1 in 5 people being affected with dyslexia in the U.S.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. So certainly I think it would help if there are parents listening and you're seeing that your child's picking up things differently to try to help them identify early on, and that way they'll know. I would think it would help them go through life a little bit better. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would. Touching and agreeing.
Wow. And see, it doesn't matter where you start. It's about where you finish. So you are a published author, book about to come out. So that's proof in the pudding that nothing has to hold you back, you know. All right. So let's talk about what prompted you to write Victory Over Shame.
Well, when I began my self-discovery healing and process, deliverance, to be honest with you, I had no intentions of writing this book. But with the help of my spiritual mother, she kind of helped me literally get my drive and gear with my desire. And with the help of Dr. V, Pastor Brian's teaching, and Pastor Rick Warren's book, The Purpose Driven Life, I was able to discover my purpose here on earth. And literally, that was to pour into empty vessels. As a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, rape, and domestic violence, I wanted to share my story and share my testimony beyond Massachusetts. And, you know, with that, for the past 10 years, to be honest with each other, I've met at least one abuse survivor per week in my travels. And I realized that these survivors are still hurting and carrying their past as a burden. And look at it right now. You know, sexual abuse of children have become center stage in our headlines in courtrooms among the U.S. The evidence kind of speaks for itself with the recent media coverage of abuse increasing.
And you know, similar, I'm going to say what I said to our last guest, you know, similarly, that you didn't have to write about this topic, or you didn't have to write about the healing of this. You could have just, you know, gone on with life and not shared any of this. So, again, applause to your transparency, to be open to sharing, you know, to sharing about this. And so with the book, what life lessons will a reader take away once they read Victory Over Shame?
Well, I cover many life lessons, from forgiveness to being humble. While you're reading Victory Over Shame, you'll encounter the expression, hindsight 2020. And that refers back to looking back and reflecting on situations and seeing them clearly now, like what you should have did, what you should have said in the midst of it. So what I do is I put together a list of my aha moments of helpful tips, definitely scriptures, quotes, and warnings. I'm a firm believer that any lessons from spiritual to flesh are taught through the hands-on experience. So once you're able to identify the roles you played in your life, then that's when we'll be able to receive the lesson and move from bitter to better.
All right, move from bitter to better. Move. And so how has – so you just mentioned there's scriptures referenced in the book. You know, one of your titles, if people jump over to your website, is that you're a worshiper. So how has God been a pivotal force in your life and in this book?
Well, definitely God's love, grace, and mercy has been a guiding light through my life and while writing the book. God looks at our heart while man looks at the flesh. I'm thankful to God for giving me a clean heart to have the courage to share my story with other survivors. Hindsight 2020, Charvette, it takes a lot of courage and faith to stand on what you believe, especially when the topic is taboo, uncomfortable, and challenging.
Wow. And, you know, any of those things, just like you said, and sometimes the topic doesn't even have to be in one of those categories. It can be something else, and it still takes that gusto, that you know, stick-to-itiveness, that I'm going to do this. You know, I'm just making up words, but, hey, you all know what I mean. You all know what I'm talking about, and you all know the point I'm trying to get across, to do something, anything, because the enemy will – His job is to discourage those that encourage. His job is to discourage those that encourage, because he knows the encourager is going to help people. So anything that's going to be a help to people, you know, a lot of times to get it even done and to get it out, there is a struggle or there is something that's kind of hindering. So good. Okay, good, good, good. So if there's a listener that's, you know, listening in and they are experiencing child sexual abuse, there's someone in their family that has experienced it, there's someone that they know that's experiencing this or has experienced this, what should they do? Do you have any guidance or advice?
Well, I would definitely encourage them to seek out help. On my website, which is a beautiful website, Thank you. I love it. The resources I provide, or I have provided the national resource, which is RAIN with two N's, which is the Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. And here in Boston, I've worked with Debbie Chambers. She is the founder of DC Empowering Children, Inc., Fighting Against Child Abuse. And her website, www.dcempowering.org. There, they will provide the callers with someone to talk to, and when needed, they'll provide you resources. To be honest with you, I'm a firm believer. Just don't hold it in no more. There's help out there, and it's free and confidential. You need to be able to move from bitter to better. That's the key in life. Life is either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better, and we got to choose.
We got to choose. So tell listeners your web address so they can go over there and get that information.
Oh, definitely. My web address is www.latanyamarno.com.
All right, there you go. And how can they connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, all your social networking sites?
Well, my social networking handles for Facebook, for my public figure page, is Latanya M. Arno, W-O-W, the woman, the overcomer, the worshiper. Tanya M. Arno, W-O-W, at Facebook. And my Twitter handle is Latanya M. Arno, W-O-W. And Instagram is Latanya M. Arno, W-O-W.
All right, and I have tweeted and Facebook and tagged and Instagram. So if you're following me, those are easy connection points, very simple. So Twitter.com/Charvette, Facebook.com/Charvette, and Instagram.com/CharvetteM. Only difference there with Instagram. All right, and so do you think Victory Over Shame is a good book for book clubs?
I would definitely say yes. Some books need to be discussed. Case in point, Victory Over Shame. It's a good book to bring openness and awareness to a taboo topic. And honestly, I'm offering a 25% savings to book clubs and an added-on bonus for a 30-minute author Skype Q&A session. So for more information, definitely visit my website at LatanyaMArnold.com.
Wonderful. So if you have a book club, there is an added incentive because there's the discount, and then they get to have that chat with the author, which is wonderful because once you get through a book, a lot of times you want to kind of pick the author's brain, you know, about maybe things that were covered or for them to expound on it. So I think that's a great offer that you have for book clubs. All right, Latanya, what we're going to do is take a very quick commercial break, and then when we come back, I definitely want you to share any tips that you give for women that may be going through storms or challenges or any of that. You know, you've been able to really you know, come out on top, I believe, and with, you know, with your life, with this book coming out. And so we're going to go to a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back and continue to help our listeners out. Is that all right with you?
Sounds like a plan to me, Charvette.
All right, listeners. We're going to be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college. This is beyond a simple donation. It's the opportunity for America to invest in its kids and take an active stake in the future of the country. The return on your investment isn't money. What you get back is knowing you protected our potential. So one day, that potential can grow up to become surgeons and architects, executives and engineers, people who can change the future just by being a part of it. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. A public service announcement brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Virtual book tours is one of the best ways to get your book noticed by potentially thousands of new readers. BAB Virtual Tours staff will walk you through the process of embarking on a virtual tour for your book, business, music, and or ministry, providing simple but yet effective strategies for getting your product and your message in front of thousands. Sign up for a free consultation. www.latboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right, welcome back again to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world, wide web. We're chatting up here with one of our featured interviews with LaTanya Arnold. And listen, we just discussed Victory Over Shame, upcoming book release. I do want to mention, if you are in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, there is an event that is coming April 18th, and it is called Love Never Fails Forum, and it is about protecting our children's innocence and reclaiming yours, and it is about child sexual abuse survivors. There are speakers, and so it's to raise awareness about childhood sexual abuse. Again, that is in the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, Saturday, April 18th at 10 a.m., and it's called Love Never Fails Forum, and the host is Yvette Allen Tatum. You can go over to loveneverfails.com to register. It's free. It's a free event, loveneverfails.com, and with fails, it is a Z instead of an S. That's the only difference, loveneverfails.com. Jump right over there. All right, so there you have it, some in-person help if you need it and you're in the capital city of Richmond. All right, LaTanya. All right, so we're back. So I'd love for you to share some tips you have for women who may be going through a storm or through a challenge. What would you say to that listener?
I would say first, learn to forgive yourself. Forgiveness is the key for survivors to release the burdens from their past. And I would suggest that people start their own personal journey of self-discovery. I started mine while I was in graduate school while creating a personal SWOT analysis. That helped me identify my strengths, my weaknesses, my opportunities, regrets. And it gave me insight on how to move from bitter to better in my personal and professional life. Now I can better identify self-sabotaging behaviors in myself and others. And matter of fact, Travis, this summer, I'll be starting my own motivational webinar series for survivors by survivors. My first series will be titled Moving from Bitter to Better. So, you know, definitely visit my website, LaTanyaMRO.com, to sign up for my mailing list. Because I'm a firm believer, everybody has a purpose. You just need to activate it.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so you did your own, you're recommending to do your own SWOT analysis, and so that's SWAT, and then give the listeners again what that acronym stands for.
That would be for your strength. This is internal for yourself. Usually it's business related, but the great thing about it is you can still use the same tools to identify your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats. And to me, honestly, threats, all you can do with threats are turn them around and make them opportunities.
And when you're thinking, and the threats, are those threats toward, like, your self-esteem, threats towards you physically?
Exactly. I'm thinking, when you think about your threats, like, it could be, for example, my threat would have been me being dyslexic or being identified as being dyslexic. Instead of me looking at that as a threat or a crisis, God blessed me to look at that as an opportunity. And that was bringing my story of victory to others.
All right, there you have it. Some help for you, some help for you. So when will listeners be able to get a hold of a copy of Victory Over Shame?
I will be dropping Victory Over Shame May 3rd and May 30th. And I am so happy because it took me a while to get the book done. And once again, obstacles, had to change publishers. You know, hindsight 2020, I had to get a new website designer, which was you.
Yes, big shout out. Mitchell Productions created the website. Shameless plug.
Thank you. definitely. So definitely, I look at it like this. The more you surround yourself with change agents, people that are going in the right direction and are staying positive, you're going to go further than you ever thought you could.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. It's about staying around positive people. And sometimes people say, well, I don't have anyone around me like that. You know what? With social media today, if you connect with the right groups and follow the right people on social media, they will give you, you know, just by their posts and their tweets and, you know, interactions online, you can get that peace that'll help you get through the day with motivation and helping you to go to the next step. Have you seen that social media has been, you know, powerful in that aspect?
Well, it definitely has. I realized that with media in general, 10 years ago, this didn't even exist. The possibility to self-publish my book, to share my story, 10 years ago, I wasn't even thinking on that level. For me to be able to touch people beyond Boston, beyond Massachusetts, beyond New England, that right there is a blessing. Being connected, I'm a firm believer. We all start casual, then we got to move from casual to connected to committed. So those are steps in relationship building. So I think social media has helped us create relationships. It's just that we have to be genuine and be transparent about who we are.
Oh, that's good. Casual to connected to committed. That is good. Steps of a relationship. That is really good. And that's good for romantic relationships. Listeners, if you're at committed and he's at casual, then there is your disconnect. Or she is at casual and our guy listeners and you're at committed, then there's your disconnect there. Okay. So one more time, tell listeners how they can connect with you online.
Definitely online. You can go. The great thing about my website, you can grab all my social handles from my website at www.LaTanyaArnold.com. And for Twitter and for Instagram, it's LaTanya M. Arnold, W-O-W. And for Facebook, it's LaTanya M. Arnold, W-O-W.
All right, there you go. And I have tweeted the website address. And also, if you are at charvette.com, you'll be able to get to it there from my blog article that's on my website about LaTanya M. Arnold. Well, it has been great featuring you on the show, and we wish you much more continued success.
Definitely.
All right, awesome. Awesome. All right, listeners, guess what? That's a wrap for today's show. Again, thank you so much to our sponsors that are supporting us, all of our sponsors. Oh, my goodness. We thank you and we appreciate you. In particular, we definitely do want to call out the women's retreat that is coming to Richmond, Fashioned for the Kingdom Women's Retreat, put on by Elder Jana Tyler Davis, and it features the daughter of the late Dr. Miles and Pastor Ruth Monroe. Ambassador Sharisa Monroe is going to be with us June 19th and June 20th. You can register. There is a cost. You can register. There is an investment. Register online at jtdministries.org. There are many other speakers, a bunch going on. The registration includes some meals and some snacks, some other stuff, but you absolutely will be blessed. So you want to jump on that and be a part of that. So until we meet again, we're excited. We do have Pastor Jason Nelson coming up on a future show. So we look to have you guys there with us.
From Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.